This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, the growing computer game industry in Greater Cincinnati. Joining us first to discuss helping and treating mothers who are addicted and drug-dependent babies, our neonatologist, co-director of Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center's Neonatal Abstinence Syndrome Clinic, and University of Cincinnati College of Medicine Associate Professor of Clinical Pediatrics, Dr. Kathy Wettig, and freelance writer Lisa Murtha, who is currently working on a story about infants who are born addicted to drugs. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Lisa and Dr. Wettig, good to see you this afternoon. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Wettig, what is neonatal abstinence syndrome? What is that? What causes it?
Neonatal abstinence syndrome is a complex of symptoms that we see in babies who have been exposed to opioids while still in utero. So they are withdrawing from the drugs that they have been exposed to. They are babies that are extremely irritable. They cry a lot. They can't sleep. They tremor. They may have diarrhea, not eat well. And there are different degrees of this. So when we speak about it here in Cincinnati and say a baby has NAS or neonatal abstinence syndrome, we are saying they have these symptoms to such a degree that we feel that we need to give them methadone or buprenorphine or morphine to relieve the symptoms.
So is it correct to say these babies are addicted, that they're born addicted?
I think it's more correct to say they are born withdrawing because they are feeling the effects of the drugs coming out of their system. They're just unhappy babies. They don't know how to get the drug. So if we say addiction means you go back and back and back to get the drug that made you feel good, the babies don't know that. So they're more born withdrawing.
But you actually have to treat them with methadone to help them through this.
We do.
That's a serious thing.
It's a very serious thing because methadone – mothers using methadone can have babies who also withdraw. So we are only trying to ease their withdrawal from the methadone they've already been exposed to.
Lisa, you've been writing about this. You've been developing a story on this. How serious an issue is this becoming in Cincinnati?
Well, I think I was kind of first exposed to the whole problem through the mothers, and that was via the article that I wrote about Off the Streets. And I spent a month shadowing women who are survivors of prostitution and human trafficking, and I came to understand fairly quickly that that any kind of substance abuse, but particularly recently opioid substance abuse, is really closely linked hand in hand with a lot of the prostitution and human trafficking. And as I spent the month with these women in this program, I sat in on a lot of groups with them, and they were divulging a lot of their feelings. And one thing that just kept coming up was conflict regarding children. A lot of them had given birth to multiple children while they were using. And these babies, it was such a source of angst for these women because they were so torn. They were still so, not in the program, but at that point when the babies were born, still addicted, the mothers were, to these drugs and needing those drugs, and yet they were loving, their infants. And it really was difficult to learn about and to see the struggles that they had now coming out as they are getting away from addiction, understanding kind of what happened when they gave birth to the babies and, trying to form a life with these children as they moved forward. And so when the Top Doctors issue came out for Cincinnati Magazine or the assignments came up, my editor said, I think we should talk about these babies too. There are thousands of them, not just in Cincinnati, all over the country, and they're being born with these problems. They're serious problems, and because their mothers are addicted, they frequently don't have parents to help them through these things.
How many children are affected by this, Dr. Wettig, in our area? Do we have any numbers on that?
We do. And about one out of 75 babies born in this area develop neonatal abstinence syndrome, and one out of 25 are exposed to opioids in utero. So the numbers are really concerning because it's not just the short-term if you withdraw or don't withdraw, but it's there are longer-term problems that we are seeing for the children because you have to, you know, consider that the developing brain has been exposed to these opioids, and that makes changes in the brain that cause problems for the children later on. And then even as what Lisa was saying also, this whole concern from the mothers as to whether or not they can parent, they're allowed to parent, what's going to happen to their babies, and then the children move into different situations. They may be in foster care. They may be in kindred care. They may be back and forth with their mothers. So all of those lead to a lot of concern as to the long-term outcome for the children.
What about physically long-term? Have we been able to study this long enough to see if there are any definite things that happen long-term?
We have we have different times that, you know, opioids have been a problem. So we do have history from the 70s and the 80s, and this epidemic now is probably been almost 10 years, because it was around 2007 that I first started seeing babies in follow up from mothers who had an opioid problem. And we do see problems with their eyes. We can have more babies, more children with lazy eye or eye vision issues. We see problems with their muscle tone. So sometimes just how their gross motor movements, how they learn to walk, how they learn to move around. We see behavior problems. I sometimes talk about two-year-olds on steroids. Some of these children just cannot settle themselves, and they can't even be in nursery schools or preschools because they just can't settle. They can have other what we call sensory issues or attention issues. So, yes, we have seen some long-term problems.
It sounds like they're suffering from toxic stress is what's actually what they're going through.
And you know what? And in some ways, that is the case. I mean, because there's studies that try to separate out, is this because of the drugs they've been exposed to, or is this because of their lifestyle where they are taken away from their mother, back to their mother, get enough to eat, not get enough to eat. So, yes, all of those things are still trying to be sorted out.
And I think that was one of the things that really hit me as I got to know these women and learn more about this problem is how cyclical in nature this problem is, generational in nature. The mothers generally aren't always the first ones in their family using. Frequently, their mothers, even their grandmothers, have a history of substance abuse. And so this somehow, you know, affects the babies as the next generation living with this.
It does because, you know, the children, they don't have a good support system. And so it's very hard for them in situations where you just need your parents to be behind you. You might be having difficulty in school and they want to talk to your mom and you're like, well, maybe. Or you might be having difficulty with friends, and you just don't have that support system behind you. So that takes away some of what we might consider the normal kid things. You just it's always stressful.
And does being exposed to drugs in the uterus, does that mean you might be more inclined to be addicted yourself later in life?
That was a question I asked her as well.
Well, I'll tell you that there are some genetic studies that look at a person's genetic predilection to have an addiction. And yes, there are generational, and it appears to be based on that. But any genetic type studies also depend upon your environment. So if you start adding these stresses of not having a stable upbringing, and then some people certainly get into their addiction through mental health issues that also can be inherited. So there's a lot within this generational cycle of addiction that, you know, it's hard to put your finger on any one thing. So as you're trying to break it, you've got a lot of steps to take.
So how concerned does this have the medical community? How worried are people in the medical profession about this?
We're very concerned because it's you not only have this whole generational thing, but people who have problems with addiction, they have problems with pain. They have any medical issue can be aggravated by the addiction itself, and then also access to care. How often will people come? How often will they bring their children to the doctor? So, just trying to figure out how you can put all of these pieces together to help them, you know, make a direction for them. It's very hard.
It also seems to have infiltrated, you know, even it's a really serious problem among the first responders. I've sat in on numerous city council meetings here in Cincinnati where they're begging for help. There are times when the paramedics and police will respond to the same person overdosing three times in one day. They're looking for solutions and ways to help these people, but the problem is growing so rapidly, and they are overwhelmed by the number of people that they're having to treat in the field repeatedly and for this problem. And they're trying to look for creative solutions. I think they're looking at Colerain, which has an interesting program where they're trying to send out, I think, social workers with mm-hmm. the first responders to try and get to these people before they continue doing this again. But it's a serious problem that is overwhelming a lot of our responders and medical community.
And I think one of the problems is I think we need to look at addiction as a disease. And many people are still, well, what's wrong with you that you're addicted, or how did you get there, or you're not a good person if you're addicted, and that's a very hard like stereotype to overcome, and so that a person who has a substance abuse problem has a difficulty coming also for help because of that type of stereotype, and so when we're able to move beyond this to addiction is a disease, and this is how we are going to work to treat it. But as Lisa says, it's very hard for the care providers to say, yes, this is a disease, but why are you back three times in one day? Let me help you. And that can be difficult.
And does that stigma surrounding this, does that also make it difficult for someone who's addicted to get help for their child?
Well, it does. It does. And because some of the mothers are very concerned that their problem will have their child taken away from them. They're trying very, very hard to be good mothers. And they are good mothers. They love these children. And I can't tell you the number of moms who've told me, this child has saved me. I'm really, you know, I'm very happy to take care of this child and yes. what they will put up with.
So when you're saying they've saved them, they've helped them get off the addiction track.
They've helped them get into treatment. And I'll tell you, these are not easy children. And the patience I've seen from these mothers in taking care of these children is amazing to me. There are times when I think, oh my goodness, I don't think I could do this. Yeah. And I don't have a problem where I have to get up every morning to go get my methadone or go, you know, take care of this. But they can be wonderful mothers.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us, 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us to discuss helping and treating mothers who are addicted and drug-dependent babies are neonatologist, co-director of Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center's Neonatal Abstinence Syndrome Clinic, and University of Cincinnati College of Medicine Associate Professor of Clinical Pediatrics, Dr. Kathy Wettig, and freelance writer Lisa Murtha. Lisa's currently working on a story about infants who are born addicted to drugs. You can join us with your questions and comments at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Lisa, in discussing the opiate epidemic, is this part of the story about the effect on children? Is this part of the story that you think is largely going unnoticed?
I do. Pardon me, I do. I think that even the root of the story with the women and men who are addicted to heroin right now is it's not going unnoticed, but I don't think that anyone, that the majority of people understand the depth of the problem and how difficult it is for people to break this addiction. And I think that subsequently, when you look at the children who are trying to just make their way through the world with parents who are struggling with this kind of addiction every day, it's overwhelming, frankly, to think about it and to try and think about how you can solve a problem that has so many facets to it.
Yeah, we talk about this being a generational issue. How do you break that cycle? I mean, that's the tough thing, isn't it?
It's a real tough thing. I think the only way you can really break that cycle is to try to make the child's place more secure. Now, that's a big order in and of itself. And we have so many people are involved that way. We have so many children who are now being raised by their grandparents who just never thought that they were going to have to parent again, and now they have their grandchildren. We have children living with aunts and uncles. We have children in foster care, and we have children who are adopted. So, but it's a big job for the person taking care of them to try to give them a secure situation and make them also comfortable with their parents to the extent that they are their parents. There was a conference at Xavier on November 1st where we had a speaker from the Betty Ford Institute by the name of Jerry Moe, and he was a fantastic speaker in talking about how you make the children understand that addiction is not their parent, that it's two separate things. And so we need to work on many aspects of it for the children.
Do all children who are exposed to narcotics while they're in the uterus, do they all develop this syndrome, this withdrawal syndrome?
They all develop some symptoms of withdrawal, but to greater or lesser extent. Only about 30 to 40% of the children who are exposed really need to have treatment for their neonatal withdrawal. But in Cincinnati, we have established that all women who come in to deliver have a drug screen so that we know whether or not the babies are at risk for withdrawal. And any infant whose mother's drug screen was positive will be kept in hospital at least 4 days so that we can look for signs of withdrawal. And if they are significant, we keep the baby and treat the baby. But we do know also that some of these signs may not show up for 2 to 3 weeks. And those are very concerning infants because they can have significant symptoms, not eating well, having significant diarrhea, not sleeping, sweating, all of the signs of withdrawal. So we have a better handle on it here because we at least know which babies are at risk. The majority of the babies that do show up will show their symptoms in the first 4 days. And those who show up later, we have a little bit better idea about how to at least diagnose that as the problem.
What's the outlook for these children? I mean, do they ever completely get over this?
I think that there's only a certain percentage of children that are going to have major long-term outcome problems. But we don't have enough studies to really say that. We don't have enough to know what the educational effects are. We don't have enough to know what the effects, the clinical, the like effects on the eyes and hearing can be. And that's what we're trying to get together. That's why we actually separated out the neonatal abstinence syndrome clinic at Children's Hospital from the high-risk clinic so that we could have a clinic directed just to that. We also have a group that we've kind of brought together people from many of the agencies in the city who work with children who have been exposed to narcotics, and we're trying to work together to figure out just what good practice for these children, what kind of problems do they have, how do we address them. The schools are involved in this, so but it's really, we're really just at the beginnings of kind of trying to coordinate all these efforts.
And this just isn't just isolated, Lisa. I mean, this is not just the mother and child. This is having an impact on the community as a whole, isn't it?
It is. Like I said, the first responders are overwhelmed with having these calls to deal with. They're taking over, you know, the time that they would be spending even on other calls. But to get back to something Kathy was talking about, it really does take a village in this case, and you have to attack this problem from multiple sides. There is no one way. And so even in the parenting way, organizations like Off the Streets, which are absolutely, they exist to help those women, by helping those women develop, you know, a stable life and have a home and get rid of addiction and the things that surrounded that, that helps them to be better mothers. And they're kind of teaching them. A lot of these women, you know, the ages are getting younger and younger. Some of these women are children themselves when they start using. And so for them to, they never really have learned how to be an adult themselves, and now here they are with children trying to learn how to parent, and that in and of itself poses a problem. So there are agencies coming from so many different angles trying to tackle the problem together.
Yeah, Off the Streets is one resource that's dealing with this issue. Who are some of the other programs and resources out there?
Well, we have First Step Home, which has a residential program for pregnant and newly delivered mothers to help them to get medical assisted treatment and basically to get their lives back in order. We have up in Butler County, Sojourner is another residential program that helps the mothers. But there's at Good Samaritan Hospital, they have a program called the HOPE program, which is a program that helps the moms, the pregnant moms, to not only get their treatment, but also, again, find different social agencies to help them during their pregnancy. So those are the ones that I know about.
Yeah, I think Shelter House is another one as well. And there then are the traditional drug and treatment facilities just for adults. But the children, you know, this is something that is going to become a larger problem as time goes by. There's going, you know, they're overwhelming the foster system. I know I did read an article about that in the Wall Street Journal. Because when grandparents themselves aren't capable of taking care of them, where do they go? And not everyone is trained to take care of a child with needs like this as a foster parent. So it, like Kathy said, we're at the beginning of this, although it's been happening for 10 years. It's increased so much in the past, I would say, 5 years in particular.
For sure.
Yeah, so we're at the beginning of this. Are you optimistic? Are you hopeful we can get this under control at some point, Dr. Wittig?
I have to be hopeful that we can get it under control.
It's just one of the tragedies of the whole heroin epidemic.
It definitely is. The children, you know, are the to me the biggest tragedy of the heroin epidemic, because they have no. I mean, they did nothing to be here and to be affected this way. And the more we can do for them, the more services we can put in place for them, the more we can show them that there is a positive view on life, the better for them.
Yeah, Lisa, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I've read articles that describe this as being that we're seeing a generation destroyed by this. How optimistic can you be about seeing this nipped sometime?
You know, I agree with Kathy. You have to have hope. You don't really have a choice. Otherwise, you'd really be desolate. But I think that the millennials need to really be watching this. I know that they have lots of different things that they're thinking about right now, but it's their generation and their children right now who are going to see the effects of this long term. There certainly are women and men who are in their 30s and older who are suffering from these addiction problems as well. But the off the streets data is showing that these women who are coming to them are trending younger and younger. The youngest they've taken and that they can take is 18. But many of these women told me they were out on the streets as young as 14, living out there, working and having babies, 16. So this is a major problem. And when you walk over those young people begging, you know, downtown, my initial instinct used to always be, oh, they're healthy, they're young, why aren't they working? I understand so much more now what has hold of them.
So this goes back to what Dr. Wettig said earlier about viewing this as a disease.
Yes.
As opposed to being some kind of a law enforcement issue or something along those lines.
And again, I heard the head of the, they call it the cat house, the chemical
addiction treatment.
Yes. She spoke also at Cincinnati City Council meeting about how the use of these opioids, they alter your brain. Your brain doesn't work properly. And they've seen studies showing as long as 14 months after use, regular use. So that shows me that these are people who are, for a period of 14 months, frequently unable to think the way you and I can think rationally, logically, making decisions. Their brain has been altered by this drug.
Hey, you're currently working on a story about infants who are born addicted.
Actually, it's out.
It's out. Okay,
it's in the Top Doctors issue in January.
Okay.
Yes, and Kathy, it's really all in her words. She's brilliant. She's doing amazing work, and we need to clone her.
Well, that's a problem. There, resources are part of the problem too in dealing with this whole issue and people. Yeah,
resources are a big problem because, well, I guess number one, we don't even know how many resources we need, but the children are, I mean, they're young. They have their whole lives ahead of them. And what numbers of dollars do we need to help them through that?
Yeah. Lisa and Dr. Wettig, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Neonatologist, co-director of Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center's Neonatal Abstinence Syndrome Clinic and University of Cincinnati College of Medicine Associate Professor of Clinical Pediatrics, Dr. Kathy Wettig, and freelance writer Lisa Murtha. Coming up, we'll hear about the growing computer game industry in Greater Cincinnati. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.